where I am as a Yankee fan right now, it has to be where every Yankee fan is right now. Unless you are a warped sycophant who is a grown man or woman that has posters over your bed. And you're just such a Yankee fan that you don't think that it can't possibly remain this bad for this long. Now, I know that they won last night. I don't care. I don't care that they won last night. Because once again, and it's the same script, and it is maddening because it happens over and over. And I'm done yelling. I promise. I am done yelling about the same stuff over and over and over. I'm just not doing it anymore. Tap out, uncle, mercy. I'm done with that nonsense. So, the Yankees won a game last night against the Red Sox. And you could just tell that the Red Sox have so much more tenacity than the New York Yankees. So much more grit and toughness than the New York Yankees. See, there used to be a point where you'd roll into the Bronx and you'd hope to get out alive. But the chances were you were in a body bag. Just the way the stadium was built, the overhanging right field, the deafening chants, and all the aura and all the studs that used to wear that uniform. You'd look on the schedule, whether you're Boston, whether you're Toronto, whether you're Baltimore, whether you're the Mets coming through in somewhere. Didn't matter who you were. You would look at the schedule and you'd say, oh, God. All right. These are the three games. We're in Yankee Stadium. Who's pitching? Is it El Duque? Is it Clemens? Is it Pettit? Is it Cohn? Is it CeCe? Who's going? What guy with massive stones is going to be on that hill that's going to set the tone before the Bernies and the Tinos and the O'Neills and the Jeters and the Posadas and the Teixeiras and the A-Rods, Avi, and everybody else that made being a Yankee fan unbelievably awesome? That's what it used to be. Now what we have is we have Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, issuing quotes like, hey, we love coming here, man. We really enjoy playing the Yankee Stadium. And we happen to play very well here. Not scared of the Yankees at all. And let's face it, why the hell would anybody be afraid of the New York Yankees? If anything, you are licking your chops when you're getting ready to play the New York Yankees. Because after Thursday's loss and Friday's loss and Saturday's destruction loss, last night came really the only way the Yankees could beat you. Put four balls in the seat. That's it. That's the only way they're going to beat you. They're not going to string together competitive at-bats and grind and make the opposing pitchers work. We had like 25 and 28 and 30 pitch innings and a couple of walks and then bang, that clutch double, lights out. Game's over. Yankees in a romp. Yeah. You know, you get this every couple of games. Yankees go bonkers with the long ball. And it is old. And it is predictable. And it is incredibly stale. And I got to tell you, and I really, really don't like to say this much, because it's a read from a distance. And I really do want to stay in my lane and be respectful to everybody. But this needs to be said. All right, and I'm going to pose it in the form of a question rather than make a declarative statement, which is a 100% indictment, but you will be able to infer strongly what I mean. But I'm going to keep it a question because I'm going to be nice today. Because football season's coming. I got a couple of days off this week. Sal's off, by the way, and he will be back Wednesday. I had fun over at Sal's house with Hoff and the families. We'll talk about that. I'll get to the Mets as well. I am going to be nice, so here comes the question, even though I can strongly make this a statement. Where is the Yankees' heart? Where is the Yankees' fortitude? Now, I'm not just going to turn into Wild Radio Man and, you know, abandon scruples and common sense. So I'm going to say this with the respect that it deserves. And the man that I'm about to bring up for a moment has earned, because he's an all-time player and he's an all-time competitor and he's an all-time good guy. All right? And that's, of course, the great Aaron Judge. But when Aaron Judge says we need to be angry, we need to, you know, we can't tolerate this, whatever he said, right? Well, how about you show it? How about you show it in a non-monotone delivery? And I know he's not an actor. He's not an entertainer. So I'm not going to sit here and be that guy that, I guess I am to an extent, this one time. I've never done this before. And judge an athlete necessarily on how they deliver messages. Again, they're not actors or actresses. They're baseball. They're athletes. So that's what I'm going to judge them on for the most part. But when you are the unquestioned leader, and I'm not dropping all this at Aaron Judge's doorstep, but I'm sorry, I need a little bit more from Aaron Judge than, hey, we got to be angry. We can't accept this. You're damn right you can't accept this. Nobody could accept this. This is just wildly, wildly unacceptable what the New York Yankees have morphed into. Who they are, what they become, you know what I mean? It's the Bronx Country Club. That's where we're at. Who looks like they care when they lose? Who? Where is the outward frustration? Where is the fastball under somebody's chin? Where is the hard, aggressive slide at second base? I'm going to take you out. I'm not looking to hurt you, but you're going to know that I'm here. Why? Because I'm sick of losing to you. That's why. You're the Red Sox. We're the Yankees. We hate you. You hate us. I've got to do something to change the way this thing's been going, the way this script has been written. And the only way the Yankees changed that script, and we've seen it a gazillion times, is when they step on a couple of flat fastballs. By the way, Dustin May stinks. He stinks. He's had 10,000 surgeries. He throws 4 miles per hour slower than he did when he came up, and he was a stud. I'm not impressed with what the Yankees did off of Dustin May. Just not. So they win a game. Fantastic. You avoid getting broomed in four. Not a short little two-game series. Not three, the conventional. Four. And you think that I'm going to get on the air and wax poetic about the Yankees in a long ball? Not feeling it. I'm not believing it. I'm not buying it. And I'm not saying it. The only thing, guys, let's call for what is. I'll get these calls right now. The only thing about the Yankees, in terms of what we love and what we expect and what we demand, it's the uniform. That's it. Everything else, or so much of mostly what this team's been built up with, it's gone. It has eroded. It has vanished. It has disappeared. It's all gone. It's gone. 888-808-1019. All right, wow, fantastic. Next seven games. Here we go. What, 5-2, 6-1, 3 with the Nats, 4 with the White Sox. I can tell you what's going to happen. Yankees with 7 home runs in one game. They'll win most of them. They'll look good. And then the next time they play a good team, they'll look like they did this weekend or against Toronto or against the Mets and Queens. Or what? You know what I'm saying. You know the story. So they continue to drain us. I thought we were immune to that pain. Not that it's, championship every year, but just like the lifeless, lackluster, prolonged stretches of poor, uninspired play. with no repercussions. The Yankees are under 500 this month again. If they finish August under 500 again, that is three straight months of under 500 baseball. Oh, tell me about April. I want to hear about it. When pitchers are just getting their stuff together and you play some dog teams and you put up some hollow numbers. Listen, you could believe what you want. But if you believe, and I've said all year, they don't have what it takes to win the championship. But like, this is not exactly breaking news. What I'm saying today is they have sucked the life out of me. They have sucked the energy. And I take a lot of pride in being a guy who has endless amounts of energy and endless amounts of passion. I don't get tired doing this, and I never will. But I am done yelling and trying to, you know, garner that false enthusiasm for something that simply is not there. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Of course, we are inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let me get John and Danbury, Connecticut. John, BT and Sal, what's going on, John? How are you?
Not great, I'll be honest with you. I have to be in complete agreement with you. There is no fight in this team. There's no freaking dogs on this team.
None.
I called before about
Poodles.
This months ago.
Yep.
It's, you know, you and I know Brett Gardner's not coming through this door, and I'm not saying that guy lit the world on fire, but I knew in a tough position late in the game when Gardner got up there, that dude's going to grind out a 10, 15 pitch at bat because he knows how important it is to win this effing game against this team. Like, it's ridiculous that you have the Red Sox coming in here saying, I like New York. This is great. We're going to grab some pizza. We're going to win a few games, go home, and we're going to be on, you know, close to the top of the division in a few weeks. Like, that's insane to me. And we should have knew that the writing on the wall happened years ago when Boone showed them the freaking Red Sox video of them winning against the Yankees and coming back three games to none. I mean, that's insane.
You know, go ahead, John. Finish it. Yep. I'll give you that last point.
Last point about Boone.
Yep.
This guy is so worried about being liked. All he wants to do is be liked by his team, and that is it. He does not give a crap about managing this team and actually getting better. It's all about the relationship. And I need somebody to step up and smack these guys in the face and say, we need to do better. This is not in our DNA. And apparently it has been for the last X amount of years. I'm done with this.
John, let me ask you this, John. You think the Yankees, I mean, again, rhetorical question, because we know they don't have dogs, or at least the kind of dogs that are going to scare you and protect the fence. They got little poodles, too many poodles. But you think the Yankees have a lot of talent? Like the talent that you need to win? The answer is no. I mean, the answer is no. Now the Aaron Boone stuff is fascinating because, hey, results are results. And, you know, for a team that has needed a kick in the ass for a long time, he's not going to do it the way we want him to do it. I've told you this. I've asked him this. If I was in the dugout, and I don't have the credentials to be in the dugout, clearly I'm just trying to make a point, I would handle this different. Didn't Cashman say, was it Cashman or was it Boone? Whomever said it, I think this was a very, very alarming statement. One of them said that, you know, the Yankees are held. Well, first of all, I mean, Aaron told Sal and I that it's a very tough city to play in, et cetera. But to me, like, when you're held accountable by social media, that should not be the one who polices the team. It's not our job to inspire these guys or to change the direction or to set a different template. There are 32 games to go in the season. What's going to change? They're going to win games. I'm not saying they're not going to win games. They're not going to win enough games, and they're not going to win what we want them to win. You can book that. But they're going to win enough games to be a playoff team, and where's it go? Like, there's a fine line. This is the interesting thing about being a Yankee fan, but also a Jets fan. This psychology, this line that I straddle, and other Yankee Jet fans, or maybe even lesser extent, Met Giant fans. So you get the good, you get the bad. You get the amazing class franchise, you get the slop fest. All right? Well, I try to straddle the line of appreciating all of these years of being competitive, right? and having a chance to win a World Series. And I do. I've never been that guy. I've said this. I'm not that guy who it's even, and this might be a losing mentality on my part. It's not really, not every year, necessarily championship or bust. The games change. It's too random. It's cyclical. All the stuff that I've said. And you know what I've said, all right? And like that jet layer of Loserville, I think that kind of provides me a little balance with the Yankees. So I think that I've been a Yankee fan that's fairly rooted in reality. I don't get into the nonsense, the games, the Big Brother, this. I just watch that team, and I say, all right, what do I see? Just like when I watch the Mets, I tell you what I see. Try not to cross the two unless we're having fun messing around, which obviously is part of the equation here as well, the New York dynamic, right? But I am at my wit's end because they just lose the same way all the time. And it's not about being entitled or about expecting to win a World Series every year. Those days are obviously over. What I can't stand anymore is the fact that it's the same freaking script. It's the same script. It's the same movie. It's the same song. And it's not a good one. They're not tough enough. They're not talented enough. They're not inspired enough. It's just not it. It's not it. 888-808-1019. There it is. I never thought that I'd get to the point where the Yankees would basically like tap into my soul and my uncompromised belief in that team. They have slowly sucked the life out of us. Because I'm right there with you. Sal is off, and then he's back on Wednesday, and I got a couple days off at the end of the week. So mixing and matching before we both dig in for months with the Jets and the Giants. And hopefully that is a little bit better than what these Yanks have been giving us most of the season. How about this? I mean, quote, it's fun. I mean, when was the last time you heard an opponent drop the word fun when describing what it's like to come and play in the Bronx? You talk about disrespect. It's fun to come here and play well, I'll tell you that, Cora said. We play well here. We've been playing well here for a while. It's a great stage, and we love it. End quote. Let that sink in. 888-808-1019. Back to you guys here. Obviously, you are hot. 3 out of 4. Gross. John's down in Philly on the fan. BT and Sal. What's up, John?
BT, that opening was spot on. I appreciate you you saying that. But, you know, I got to give some credit here. On Saturday night, I'm listening to Al Cintron, and a caller calls in. He says that Aaron Boone manages the Yankees like he's a substitute teacher. And not only is it funny, but it's spot on to everything we've seen this entire year. It's nothing's going to change unless they clean house. This team has no grit. And, you know, I also want to stay in my lane here. But Aaron Judge, as the captain, even though Derek Jeter was not perfect, he was not perfect by any means, but when the team was not playing up to the potential of the talent that they had, or even just showing that they actually cared about losing, even though you didn't get a whole lot out of Derek in the postgame, you could sense the frustration. Again, I'm not trying to knock Aaron Judge because he's a great player, but give us the fans as the captain. Give us something here. Like we saw three losses in a row that were all games. It's like, really? Like, have 4 errors on Thursday. Get blown out on Saturday. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch this team, and it's incredibly frustrating as a fan for all of us. It's just sense that, we'll get them next time. And then the whole team's just it's really just frustrating. I'm just getting tired of watching this team. They got to clean house.
They're probably going to. I mean, you know, the problem here, John, is, and thanks for the call, like you talk about Derek's leadership style, obviously similar, you know, he would deploy it similar to the way Judge does, where, you know, you would know that there's you would feel it more with Derek, and he would never really get loud, and certainly not in public, but you could tell the words had more sting and more bite. Like, Judge, you know, it just doesn't quite come as naturally, and I'm not going to turn this into let's rip Aaron Judge here, because if Aaron Judge was not on this baseball team, the Yankees too often would look like an expansion team, so let's not get this twisted, all right? You know, it's not football where the captain's even more important. You know, it's symbolic, and, you know, do your job, which he does incredibly well. He's not healthy now. We all know that, so he's not hitting that much. But I'm okay with saying I wish I had a little bit more from Judge post-game after a weekend like this, but it's not all about Judge, because think about this. You know, the thing that Derek Jeter had that Aaron Judge simply does not, he had other Yankees that were here for Jeter so long and so invested in the Yankee way and the tradition and, you know, the battles with Boston and, you know, obviously with Baltimore before that in the 90s. Like, it's different. You take on a different ownership, right? And that's going to manifest itself in pride. Look around the Yankees. Just look around the Yankees. Now, this is not to say that somebody like Goldschmidt doesn't want to win, but let's face it. He's here for 1 year. 1 year, $12.5 million. He's gone next year. All right, I know he's a pro, and I know he puts the work in, and I know he's like quietly humble and confident, whatever, but he's gone in a year. I mean, Jazz Chisholm. They're driving me nuts. Jazz Chisholm, to me, for all his tantalizing talents, he looks like, you know, all right, where are we going after the game? What's up? He's half in, you know. Does it really look like losing bothers him? I mean, Volpe is swimming, and it's about time. It is about time Aaron Boone sat down Volpe. And the fact that we're sitting here at 10:30 with tonight's game still hours away, and we know that Volpe's not starting, that at least is a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm pulling for the kid. You all know that, but it's been an atrocious season for Anthony Volpe. And the Yanks have given him too much rope and too much runway. And now with 32 games to go, they're going to start acting. Okay, well, I guess better late than never. But, you know, how is Volpe going to be a leader when he's not playing well and he's getting booed and now he's getting benched? I mean, Ryan McMahon, I know he's a good fielder, but he just got here, can't hit a fastball. That guy's got the slowest bat I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen, maybe Austin Wells, who does not have a slow bat, but for some reason misses, you know, I feel like five or six pitches right over the heart of the plate, fastballs every game. And Ryan McMahon, same deal. I mean, have you ever seen a hitter step up, and it seems this way, although the other night when he had 3-0, this would you know, challenge what I'm about to say, but he had a 3-0 count with the bases loaded, and then it's 3-2, then he whiffs. Like, to me, I don't think I've ever seen a batter step in the batter's box and as quickly have 0-2 on them every at-bat like Ryan McMahon. Why? Because he can't hit even a slightly above-average fastball. His bat is slow. So, and he also just got here. All right, Ben Rice, young, is he a catcher? Is he playing first? Is he DHing? Austin Wells? I mean, he's been a mess swinging the bat this year. Bellinger just got here. Judge is too quiet in terms of being that outward, you know, fierce leader. I know he's a leader, but you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know who the... these names are driving me nuts. It'd be Jazz Chisholm and... oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. Honestly, they are getting me twisted. They are getting me twisted, this team. Trent Grisham. I think he never says a word. I know he's had a good year. He's like a mouse, doesn't say a peep. Where is the leadership? Where is the fight? Where is the resistance? There is none. Carolyn in Stamford on the Fan BT and Sal. Carolyn.
Hi. Hey. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Hello, Carolyn. Yeah, How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good.
You know, I follow the Yankees really closely, and I go to a few games, and one of the games I went to, I saw one of the players standing in the dugout, and I was like, who is that? And it just hit me that this team, it's like a pickup team. They do so many wholesale changes every time at the trade deadline.
Yep.
That they have a heart for themselves. They don't have a heart for the team. You know, they are invested in getting their stats up. But they don't seem to be invested in having chemistry. They don't have a DNA for New York or the Yankees because they've never really been with the Yankees.
It's
a job to them. You don't really see the passion because they're just looking for the next job, the next place that they're going to go.
That's an outstanding point, Carolyn. You know, you get into the psychology of the Yankees, and I would agree. That's a different way of kind of framing it the way I framed it as I went around the diamond. And again, getting separation between guys who want to perform well, and of course they want to win. I mean, let's not lose sight of reality. Let's not be completely whacked out and say they don't care if they win or lose. I'm not saying that. You certainly can if you want. But you see, when you when you come up together in the minors, it's so easy to go back to the core four. But when you have that and you grow up together, and then you and especially when you step right into a winning culture, as Jeter and Posada did, as Mattingly handed over the baton, and that team got to the wild card in 95, and then Tino came here, and they did what they did. They won it in 96. Now, the expectation is everybody who comes up is more invested. And when you play together, you know, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you go through the rigors of competition, you do really develop a healthy disdain for the opposition. And to me, and I can't, and this is not even a knock, so I don't even have to preface it with anything, but there is nobody that can convince, and I love this player I'm about to reference, Bellinger, even though his dad played here, the Red Sox don't mean, you know, more to Bellinger than they do somebody else. Just got here. It's just not the way it goes. You know, Judge, he's got that some of that in him because he's been here. And, you know, I do see intensity from both, but he's just not playing well. But there's just, it's a collection of transient players who come and go. Carolyn, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's an outstanding point. Mike is down in Orlando on the free Odyssey app. What's going on, Mike?
BT, what's going on, man?
Hello.
I was so tempted to watch Novak Djokovic versus Leonard Sam last night. That's how bad it's gone with these Yankees.
I mean, it's boring. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. They've sucked the life out of me, Mike. It is evaporated. It's gone.
It's the same script every year. They go to Tampa, they hit 9 homers, they win 13-3. Then they play Tampa again, 6-4, hit 5 homers. The only game against the Red Sox they win is 4 homers. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's either a home run or nothing.
Yep. Well, if you remember that game, it was against the Twins. Yeah, it was the first game against the Twins. Thanks for the call there, Mike, where, you know, the Yankees weren't playing well. They obviously righted the ship. They won 2 out of 3 of that series. Didn't quite get the sweep, but they won those first 2 games. And then, of course, you know, shortly thereafter, had success with Tampa. They started getting some wins here. And we're like, all right, that's why this is a big series. Hey, you've won some games here. You've stabilized things. And here's the Red Sox, who will punch you this year. What are you going to show us? They showed us nothing. Nothing. But I remember that first win against Minnesota. I came in and I'm like, not to be that guy that doesn't appreciate wins or is looking to hand them back. Like, I'm not in the business of doing that. You win or you lose. But the aesthetics of the win against Minnesota, I'm like, they cranked 4 home runs and they scored 6 runs. It's literally, you know, home run or nothing. And that is just not, haven't we learned our lesson? Don't we know by now? You know? And I was always enamored with the home runs, you know, love bludgeoning people to death, you know, give me as many as we can muster up. That's why when they got Stanton, I'll raise my hand, and Stanton's been great this year, but it's also been problematic in terms of drawing up a lineup and a roster. But that's why when they got Stanton, I'm like, all right, let's go. Here we go, Stanton and Judge. But the game's changed so much. And you just, even Bregman's first at bat last night, just, you know, a little flick to right field. How would you like to have that guy on the team? But no, the Yankees continue to ignore the glaring holes that they have at myriad spots and then think they're going to fix it at the trade deadline. With a guy who's hitting .212 in McMahon, and I was okay that they got him, but he's not Bregman. And we see this every year. They proactively, despite a massive payroll, leave Tampa and leave spring training with 2 to 3 massive holes on the roster. I don't mean to the staff. I mean at positions around the diamond. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe this young guy's going to figure it out. Maybe Peraza's going to hit or all the other names that we know. It doesn't work out. We scream and yell about it for 3 months on the radio. They do something to slightly appease us. Like a starving animal, we're thankful. And then here we are, you know, a month or two later, realizing what we really knew before, but we just needed some upgrade. Not good enough. It's the same thing. It really is. It's the same song. It's the same movie. It's the same conversation. It's the same script. 888-808-1019. Sal is off back Wednesday. I'm here tomorrow solo. and then Sal solo for a couple of days. We'll mix and match, and before you know it, we're both back after Labor Day, entire station locked in. Jets, Giants, hopefully. Who knows what October's going to bring for the Yankees. We'll do the Mets later as well. I know that my turning point, though, of the weekend was when little soon-to-be 9-year-old Anthony Hoffman delivered a very flat cutter to Uncle BT that Uncle BT was able to rifle into Uncle Sal's pool. We'll get to the barbecue over the weekend. I had a good time hanging at Sal's. Hoff was there, obviously. My family was there. It was good stuff. 888-808-1019. John's in Newark, New Jersey. What's going on, John? How are you?
Hey, BT. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
That Carolyn, that caller, she got it perfect. Where is the Yankee tradition? Don Mattingly's heirs should be sitting in the Yankee dugout in some form of coaching. David Cone should be the pitching coach. I hate to say if George was here, but if George was here, Don Mattingly would not be in Miami. He would not be in Los Angeles.
Toronto.
Yeah. It is ridiculous. This group from Hal down, all they care about is 4 million fans a year. 4 million fans every year. That's what we care about. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe 5. Number 5 is winning championships. What it is. That's why he says Cashman a crapshoot. Yeah, well, let's just get to the one of the wild card playoffs, and the rest is a crapshoot.
Well, John, you're right. Listen, John, it's obviously a crapshoot. Thanks for the call. The game's changed a lot here, but that doesn't mean that you can't be better at positioning yourself to increase the odds of the crapshoot, which is what I've been screaming about with Cashman for years. Just Google my name and Cashman. I've been saying this literally for years. Years. You know, and John brought up the George stuff. You know, and after a while, that's... And my expiration point, and no disrespect to somebody who's no longer with us, I obviously don't mean that at all. Of course not, but... Like the references to George, if George were still here, he's not, you know? And I've always kind of taken that as, all right, that's old. That's played out enough. Let's get a new line. Let's get a new point of reference. I know what George was, all the good and all the bad. All right. I think a lot of you kind of forget that. But the one thing that I will lean into the if George were still here line for a second. The one thing that you know is that he would not tolerate this. Now, maybe he'd spend money on the wrong free agents. Maybe he would be even more petulant, you know, in his older age, whatever, and recycle, you know, go back to the way he was with managers, with, you know, Dick Houser and Billy and Bob Lemon and next. Like, and that wouldn't necessarily be a great thing either. But you know damn well that George would not be putting up with this. Can you imagine? Now, I don't mean like 99-year-old George Steinbrenner, who was, you know, not quite as, and again, I say this with all due respect, like his complete respect, complete respect for the aging process. But like if he was 99 and he just, you know, he wasn't really with it, or he just didn't quite have that juice. I mean, how do you have the same juice at 99? But even if he was a diminished in terms of what he accepts, George, can you imagine how he would react after this mess this past weekend? Yeah, I mean, I think we know the answer. Let me get Mary in Long Island, BT and Sound on the Fan. Hey, Mary.
How are you this morning, besides being frustrated by the Yankees?
Yeah, they're stripping it away, Mary. Mary, they are doing something that I really never thought that they could do, that anybody could do. They are taking an incredibly passionate person, and they are basically making me lose interest.
I understand. I understand completely. I had a feeling around 11:30 yesterday morning, do not watch the game. Do not make yourself feel worse than you already do. So I didn't watch the game. Turned on WFAN this morning and went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Listen, I am one of those people, and I like what you just said about George Steinbrenner. I feel, you know, he would not have tolerated this. He shouldn't have tolerated those boys of his getting his team, though. He knew what they were like. He knew them. I mean, I would like to see every Yankee fan show up to the next home game with a sign or a shirt that says, sell the team. Because, you know, all Hank says is, oh, I'm not my father. I'm not going to be like my father. Yeah, okay. But you had no problem accepting the team. Neither did your late brother. And you are running this team into the ground. It's not working anymore. Everybody's saying that it's not working. And the lady who called in, she was so right. And your response to her was so right. You know, it's a transient team. In and out, in and out. They don't have the feeling of belonging there, of the history of the team.
No.
It's the analytic problem. Yesterday was full of talk about, well, the game has changed, analytics, all the teams are involved in it. No. Managers like Alex Cora don't answer to analytics. They use it to their benefit and to the team's benefit, but no. And this... there's so many things wrong with this team. Address the first one, then the second, then the third, but do it before the season starts next year.
I mean, that's
just sickening.
Wow. I mean, Mary, wow, that is a fired up call. Appreciate it. You know, I'm not sell the team. I don't feel that. But I respect your call. I'm not there that at that point. Listen, you have to understand that Hank was very different than Hal. And once that was taken away, that wild card, you know, that was a loose cannon in a good way, who I think was going to kind of keep it kind of like George, you know? And the conversation about analytics, listen, it's either one of two things. Either the Yankees are way, way, way too reliant on analytics, or their analytics people stink. And honestly, you want my answer? I think they stink. I think their analytics people stink. I think they're bad at their jobs. Because the infiltration of the numbers, it's not a new thing. We talk about analytics like, oh, wow, analytics just burst on the scene 2-3 years ago. It's been most of this century where many teams have a couple of decades where most teams have applied, you know, various forms of numbers to how they build the roster, how they do a lineup, and how they react to things within the game, trends, etc. And to have numbers, to have hard data and not lean on them, I think that that's foolish. But I think their biggest problem is I think that they've allowed those numbers people with no real, let's be honest, discernible baseball background. I mean, in terms of having played, you know, they have allowed them to kind of drive the machine, drive the car. And here we go. Here we are. 888-808-1019. All right, Yankee fans are absolutely livid. And I don't blame you. We'll get back to these calls, get to the Mets as well. So a really good weekend offset by what went down yesterday. Get to that coming up.